that quarterback, number 19.
Bernie, Bernie, oh yeah, how you can throw. Yeah, 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 yeah. Bernie, Bernie, oh baby, Super Bowl.
Welcome, everybody, to the inaugural episode of Six B's and a P. I'm your host, Brian Costco. I'm joined today on our first episode by my color commentary team of Chris Poland.
Hello.
Randy Demidovich. And we also have a snoring basset hound named Lucy on the couch with us as well.
Indeed.
So, this podcast is hosted on AquabearLegion.com, normally your source for force.
Your one source for force.
And also your source for all Ohio music-related items and Ohio art in general. And this is a departure.
Wait, you mean the company that makes Etch-A-Sketch?
Ohio art? No, a very different one. They have a trademark on that. We should change the name. a website that normally focuses on Ohio music and art.
There we go.
Okay. But has hosted my podcast about the Cleveland Browns. Let's just beginning here. And so this is our first episode. Woo! Six B's and a P stands for Browns Backing Brian's, Browns Backing Blog Podcast. So wrap
it's
your head around.
It's not a blog, though. It's a podcast.
It's a podcast. There might occasionally be blog entries.
And tweets.
You can follow us on Twitter. We're at...
You should live tweet.
Yeah. We're at... 6B1P, that's the number 6, letter B, number 1, letter P, on Twitter. So please send your tweets our way.
Oh, I thought it was B.
P.
Take
it. It was taken.
Take
really?
It. Yeah.
By who?
I did not actually go look.
Listeners sent it to us in the forum post.
Somebody post on there, we're going to find out who it is. Maybe we can try to make an agreement with them or harass them off, of that. So this podcast is going to be about the Cleveland Browns, my love for the Cleveland Browns, and sometimes my disappointment with the Cleveland Browns, I imagine, as well.
Sometimes, most of the time.
During your lifetime.
During my lifetime.
How much they have sucked.
Yes. And so but what we're going to try to do also is make it at least semi-interesting, even if you don't like football.
At least semi-interesting?
Well, if you don't like football, I mean, you're not going to... But Brad Smelly will bring you back in, even
That's
if talking
right.
about who's going to win the quarterback battle doesn't pan out. We'll talk about Brad Smelly, and even everyone can appreciate that name, football
Indeed.
Fan or not.
You're right.
And this initial episode is, going to be a little longer than the rest of them because we're going to do a season preview and kind of kickoff episode. But then the plan is every week right after the game, I'm going to record a short podcast, sometimes with Chris, sometimes with other special guests where I talk about, what happened and what's going to happen next week and all that fun stuff. So I thought...
Immediately after the game, right?
Yeah, hopefully, yeah. I will record it immediately after the game, and I'm hoping to put them up by Monday morning, I think, or something like that. So
you're going to hear him drunk and sad.
Yeah, drunk and sad. Maybe drunk and happy occasionally.
Maybe
a couple times
plan,
a year,
right?
Hopefully.
That's why you started, right?
Yes.
Because you said this is going to bring them a good season.
It is. I think
Sorry,
so.
Sorry, I can't say it with a straight face.
Yeah, right now, and we're going to talk about that later in the episode too, this idea that before the season starts as a Browns fan, I find myself at least having this constant battle between optimism, because nothing has actually happened yet, nothing counts yet, and things like, you're like, oh, that looks good, this guy looks good, that, they beat the Packers last week, that's great, but it doesn't mean anything, and then versus the realism and pessimism and this sort of idea that, you do know as a Browns fan what you've been put through. It's in your recent memory, but it's been a few months without football.
Yes, it has.
And, I think that makes it a little more exciting. It makes you a little more optimistic when maybe that's not the best thing to do. So we'll talk about that later on.
Okay.
I also figured I'd start off with a quick recap of where Cleveland Browns are at currently.
Bring us up to speed.
Since 1999 and rejoining the National Football League after being moved by Art Modell to Baltimore, the Browns have made one playoff.
Yeah,
in
one?
13 years, 17 starting quarterbacks, and we'll get to that later on with Randy. Discuss some of the Hall of Fame there. and a string of just very lopsided lost seasons in the win-loss column. So last year, the Browns went 4-12. Oof. A lot of injuries, but even without those, the things just did not look good. Still unsettled at the quarterback position. Colt McCoy played all of last season except for, you know, getting hurt at the end of the year. And even despite his amazing football name and his crushing of every college record ever when he quarterbacked at Texas, Colt, you know, I won't say he completely didn't get it done, but obviously 4-12 doesn't get it done. But,
he wasn't
horrible all the time.
Yeah.
But not very good. He had an opportunity put in front of him where he could have been awesome, and people in Cleveland would have made him mayor or some sort of, you know.
Yeah, anything.
Anything.
I like to call him Bolt McBoy.
Bolt McBoy. Colt McCoy. What a name.
Yeah.
You know, you just think on that alone.
But he should be amazing.
Yeah, he should.
And we're going to talk about our favorite names on the Browns roster later as well in another segment. There is some good. Colt McCoy is the tip of the iceberg. But
yes.
So Colt McCoy started last year, you know, not really too impressive. And it was obvious that, you know, they wanted to go in a different direction this year. And they did some stuff in the draft. I mean, actually, this year for the first time ever, they moved up one spot to number 3 and got Trent Richardson, who in the optimist section of this podcast could be incredible. I mean, this guy is amazing. He might actually be a explosive offensive player for the Browns, which I don't know when that really has happened. But as with most things Cleveland, he just had a knee scope surgery last week, I believe, and they're hopeful it'll be back for the season opener against Philadelphia on September 9th, but who knows. That's also, you know, I really want to pick him in fantasy football too, and I don't know what to do because who knows, you know. But then they also picked up Brandon Weeden in the first round.
They sure did.
In the optimism perspective, you know, he's a 28-year-old rookie, and he's the solution to our quarterback problem. So right now, you know, you want to be like, this guy seems amazing, but preseason's looked a little shaky, and we'll talk about that later on. And, I mean, in general, I think one of the ways I think about Browns quarterbacks on the pessimism end of things is Brandon Weeden, has he done anything to show me that he is even slightly better than these other 16 men that Randy will name for you later? And as of right now, through 3 preseason games, no. He can throw the ball a lot farther and harder.
That's true.
Had some sweet passes last night, but just also...
The first 3 or 4, then it went downhill.
Yeah.
Downhill fast, yeah. Coughed up a few fumbles and just in general looked like he didn't know what he was doing a few times. So the other exciting thing, so they picked up him. They also picked up a few other pieces in the draft, an offensive tackle that's starting as well, Mitchell Schwartz.
That's a good name.
Good name, but I don't know if he's going to make that list either based on some of these other gems on the roster of favorite names. And a few other pieces. They had Josh Gordon, this guy out of Baylor in the supplemental draft. Maybe overpaid for him a little bit, but, you know, he didn't make it into the normal draft because I think he smoked a little weed or missed a season or something. But
whoops.
Yeah, but he seems to be pretty awesome. He had a few good catches last night and throughout the preseason. So,
mm-hmm.
But then again, you know, it's the Browns starting possibly 4 rookies on their offense.
Yeah.
And the problem with Colt McCoy is they didn't surround him with weapons. That's what everyone says. And it seems like they might possibly be doing the exact same thing with Brandon Weeden. Who's 28? Have we talked about that? He's only like
he mentioned it.
I'm 29 currently, and
he's
only a year younger than me as a rookie NFL quarterback. Colt McCoy is 25, I believe, in comparison. So he played minor league baseball for the Yankees apparently, and it took him a little while longer to start his football career.
Hmm.
And the other big news of the offseason was the Browns have a new owner, or
they
will.
Yet?
Well, it's been submitted, and they imagine it'll be approved in September. But he's paying $1 billion for the Browns.
Wow.
Yeah. Jimmy Haslam.
You think the Browns are worth $1 billion?
In my heart, but maybe not in my...
Yeah.
If I had, like, a financial advisor, I don't think he would. But that being said, you know, I was reading stuff, you know, people were... That was immediately the internet chatter, especially from Steelers fans and Ravens fans, was, oh, this guy, I can't believe he'd pay $1 billion. But they are, despite how terrible they've been, one of the most popular and financially sound and money-making sports franchises in the world. They've
faithful fans.
Yeah, so give us something, you know? That's what this podcast is about. let's do something. So we'll kind of be talking throughout the thing of that optimism versus pessimism versus realism, you know, when watching these games, and I've mentioned a few of those already, but I want to move on now as we get ready for this season. We're going to go through the roster and stuff today. And I want to talk about our favorite names on the roster.
We just going to run through the roster?
We're just going to run through them. We can just run through. I mean, it's like give, you know, just glance at it and some of the ones that stick out to you. Because there is some amazing folks. and I'll start it off. Let's start it off with JoJo Dixon. Jody, he's a fourth string weak side linebacker, apparently. JoJo Dixon. I think I saw him a little bit in the fourth quarter last night, but he might not be around longer than this week. I think you just have the offense there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we've got folks like Frosty Rucker, who's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Maybe get Frosty on the show at some point.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
My favorite, is he on offense?
Yeah.
Adonis?
Oh. Yes. Adonis Thomas?
Adonis Thomas is my favorite Browns player name. It rolls off the tongue. It's very pleasing.
Brandy?
Brad Smelly. I mean, Brad Smelly. I'll go for the cheap laugh. I mean, really.
Brad Smelly. And seventh round pick this year out of Alabama, Brad Smelly. Who else do we got?
O'Neal Cousins is a pretty cool name.
O'Neal Cousins, offensive lineman, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Left tackle.
Who else we got? James Michael Johnson. That's pretty sweet.
Matt Cleveland's funny.
Matt Cleveland.
Like he's representing.
Yeah. Burt Reed.
Burt Reed. Ninth wide receiver on the roster. I think he had a pass bounce off of his hands last night, his shovel hands. So Burt Reed might not be around past this week as well. L.J. Fort.
You were saying that sounds like a G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe name, I thought. L.J. Fort there.
What would L.J. Fort's animal companion be?
Oh, man, that'd be tough. I think like some sort of timber wolf.
Yeah, but Snake Eyes had timber.
Oh, okay. So you would need a different one.
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah, I don't know.
Tortoise.
Fort. Tortoise? Yeah,
a tortoise. L.J. Fort and his defensive tortoise.
Builds walls.
And he's been a good surprise, actually. There's been a lot of injuries already, as it is the Browns. And L.J. Fort stepped up, played some linebacker. He'll probably make the team. And
I love Gronkowski as a last name, too.
Gronkowski.
I mean, Dan isn't all that exciting.
Yeah,
but
Dan.
Gronkowski's a good
Dan
name.
Dan Gronkowski.
No offense, Dan's out there.
All the Dan's, please keep listening to our podcast. Dan's of the world. So, yeah, lots of great names on the roster this year. Frosty Rucker, who we'd love to get on. That's my vote for my favorite. And you said...
Eric Hag.
Eric Hag.
Wow.
Yeah. So lots of good stuff there.
Buster Scrine or Screen?
I think it's Scrine, maybe. Buster Scrine? Buster Screen?
I think Buster's a great first name.
Buster's a good first name. You don't see that enough anymore. Usama Young?
Ooh.
Yeah. Pretty close to Osama there. Right?
There's a Thaddeus.
It is close.
Thaddeus. I think that guy's from Duke. There you have it.
Duke.
So we were talking earlier, too, about the new owner.
Yeah.
And saw him in the game last night.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
he sits in the
cavorting with fans.
Yeah. Sitting in the dog pound there. Yeah. And he owns all
Will he continue?
I don't know. That's the question. You know, the dog pound is a lot friendlier in the third game of the preseason.
Right.
How conducive is he to being hit with dog bones?
Yeah, because, I mean, if you're, like, angry and in the dog pound when they're 4-11 and the owner walks by, you're going to want to throw something at him probably, right?
True. And Cleveland fans aren't afraid to let their feelings be known.
They aren't.
Art Modell's still alive, though.
Yeah, that's true. No one's killed him. But, you know, I mean, I think it's...
There's hate.
There is hate.
A hate that brews.
Sure.
So, hopefully...
Legitimate hate.
Legitimate hate. Let's call it legitimate hate. Todd Akin, maybe he can be on the show as well. And what's great about that joke is, you know, maybe a year or two from now, if you go back and listen to this, no one's going to know who Todd Akin is, I don't think.
That's
true. Oh, yeah.
Or L.J. Fort, probably. Right. But hopefully L.J. Fort does better than Todd Akin does.
Randy was there to witness Brown's rage.
I did.
On that last game, right?
Yeah, Green Bay versus the Browns. Everybody was just ripping shit out of the stadium. People had picket signs.
Oh, the last game at the stadium, yeah.
Yeah, before they became the Ravens or whatever. Everybody, it was hate-filled. The only NFL game I've ever been to, but it was hilarious. Like, they actually had a ring of cops around the field.
Ring of cops.
Yeah, because people were running on and just like chucking stuff at like the bench, just like
Did people rip all the seats?
Oh yeah,
yeah,
and just you could take them home.
Yeah,
well, no, it wasn't like there was a sign up like please take these seats. People just decided to do it. Like,
right, but they weren't being stopped. They were just kept
all
off
the cops
field.
Were on the field. Right? Like, are you going to have every cop in Cleveland to be like, oh, there's not going to be any fallout from uprooting a team and moving to the coast?
And then that team winning the Super Bowl two seasons later as well.
Yeah.
Ain't that a kick in the pants, as they say.
It's a kick somewhere.
But yeah, Cleveland, you know, has a nickel beer night at the Indians game. There's been a history of, you know, boozed up and not taking it anymore happening at certain points. So hopefully Jimmy Haslam, you know, has good stuff in the, oh yeah, rustling of papers. Sorry, it makes it sound like we're doing stuff here. hopefully Jimmy Haslam keeps that going. I would like to see if he's still in the dog pound in the 12th week of the season.
Yeah.
When Brandon Whedon has been run out of town, you know, but optimism, I guess. So the next thing I wanted to do is I was going to go through the, we're going to go through the depth chart real quick and kind of just give our opinions. I'm going to talk a little bit about what I know, but even just in general, like, give everyone an update on kind of who's going to be starting for this team this year. Mm-hmm. And I figured good way to start that off. We talked about Brandon Whedon joining a not-so-exclusive club of 17. As long as Brandon Whedon does start versus the Eagles in week one, 17 Browns quarterbacks that have started since 1999.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take it over to Randy, who's going to read you
the list.
Right.
Are you ready? You have Ty Detmer, Tim Couch, Doug Peterson, Sporgan Wynn, Kelly Holcomb, Jeff Garcia.
Ooh, got punched in the face, I think.
Luke McCain, Trent Dilfer, Charlie Fry, Derek Anderson, Brady Quinn. Remember that guy?
Brady Quinn.
Wow.
Backing up for the Chiefs this year.
Is he?
Romeo Crennel's their coach as well. You know, wow. Weird flashback.
Good for them.
Ken Dorsey, Bruce Gradkowski, Jake Delhem, Seneca Wallace, Colt McCoy, and Brandon Whedon.
Brandon Whedon. So the first name on our
depth chart.
That's
called not sticking with anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's tough.
We're
going to
try people out every year.
And the thing is like I said, none of those people are, and it follows a pattern. Like, actually, if you look at it, there's like super hyped up rookie who is really good in college who they draft.
Yeah.
And that doesn't work, so like a backup ends up playing that no one's ever heard of, like Spurgeon Wynn. Right. And then they pick up a veteran at the end of their career who's washed up and terrible.
Right.
And then that doesn't work. Back to like maybe even a backup sometimes in between because, oh, we got to get this guy out of here or he broke his ankle or something.
Yeah.
And then back to a rookie. You know, so you have these big people like Tim Couch and Brady Quinn and Colt McCoy and Brandon Whedon, who are these, you know, superstars in college. And then people like Ty Detmer and Jeff Garcia and Trent Dilfer, who, like, you know, Jake Delhomme, I mean, oh my good God. Jake Delhomme played like half of the first game and then was hurt, but he had already like thrown like 11 interceptions in like a quarter. He's terrible.
Yikes.
And it was even more terrible because, like, I think Jeff Garcia went on and had, like, a couple good seasons with, like, someone else after that. Like, oh, no, I'm not washed up. I just was playing for the Browns. And
it's a perennial Cleveland thing.
Yeah, I mean.
Leave here and become awesome.
Yeah, leave here and become awesome, you know. And then, you know, like, for these quarterbacks, too, it's like you don't have anyone else around them. There was the one year the Browns made the playoffs, you know. And then another year where they went 10-6 and didn't make the playoffs because of just weird record stuff. But that was the year they had Braylon Edwards and Kellen Winslow and Jamal Lewis and Derek Anderson looked all right. And it was like, hey, they actually have some people who are
weapons. Those were all like close games too.
But
like, they weren't good.
You know, hopefully Trent Richardson and these other people, you know, give Brandon Whedon
options.
Yeah, is Brad, because Brad Smelly is not going to do it, I don't think, right?
You don't think?
Or
Smelly doesn't have it in him.
You know, Burt Reed, Rod Windsor, who I will talk about when we get to the wide receivers. I promised I would bring him up today. But so Brandon Whedon is going to start off the season.
Right.
Hasn't looked that great, really.
That third preseason game was the first one I've seen.
Yeah.
And he did not look great.
Did not look great, no. He can throw the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
well, it was the offensive line that didn't look great, really. Right?
And that's supposed to be one of the strong suits, you know? I mean.
But That was the whole game. That was
he was on the offensive line though. Like
it could have been anybody at that point. It could have been. Let's see.
You just
see
need
here.
One dude to break through. And
it could have been Stanley Daniels or Garth Gearhart, who apparently are backup offensive linemen. Stanley Daniels.
That's a good name too.
So I mean that's the thing. It's like quarterbacks who are inexperienced in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Are trying to translate their game, which already is tough starting as a rookie. You know, these defensive linemen are a lot faster. They were talking about that in the game last night, and we saw it. These guys coming at Brandon Weeden super fast, who are much bigger than he is, and just mm-hmm. crushing him. Or scaring the crap out of him, I would imagine, too.
He's not a good runner.
No. No.
Big, wide, sweeping thing.
And, yeah. And you brought that up last night. The Browns ever had like a fast, quick quarterback, someone that's running around out of the pocket, and they really haven't. You know, they tried to get Robert Griffin III. This year, that didn't work, and we ended up with Brandon Weeden, a 28-year-old guy who runs like he's in cement boots, the opposite of Robert Griffin III or Cam Newton or one of these, Michael Vick, you know, like a fast, because that's really,
gives
the Browns
some options.
Spend a lot of the game on the run.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Brandon Weeden is the choice, and there was a controversy for not very long. They named him the starting quarterback before the second preseason game, I think they said, which I agree with to a degree. Like, you get it out of the way.
Yeah.
Colt McCoy felt like he didn't get a fair shake, and he's had a really good preseason. But obviously he's had two seasons where he hasn't done anything in actual games to make you want to keep him around. But a lot of Colt fans in Cleveland still.
Sure.
And I think that might have been the angle, is you name him Brandon Weeden. That way you just, you're not right away people calling for the...
Yeah.
Because that happens every year.
But they're still, like, restructuring, and they don't want to be, like, the focus of, you know, the sports centers and whatnot.
Yeah.
Controversy.
You don't want any Tim Tebow action going on where you don't know who the quarterback is. But Colt McCoy's had a decent preseason, and there's been rumors of a trade, and I wanted to talk about that, too, because I just think that that's dumb. I don't know why you would trade Colt McCoy right now.
You want to dump Seneca, right?
Yeah, that's my... I mean, the guys... Seneca Wallace sucks. There you go. There's our first statement. If anyone's got a problem with that, you can tweet at me. And I don't know if we're following Seneca Wallace on Twitter, but I'm sorry, dude. You need to step it up if that's what the problem is, because you're not good. And I'm not saying... I know you're rusty third stringer for a while, you know, and backup last season to Colt McCoy. I didn't see a lot, actually. But at the end of last season, he came in those games when Colt was hurt, and it was just like... You know, like, it made me think you're no different than Doug Peterson or Bruce Gradkowski. You know, these people that just like, whatever, dude, you're just not, you're a backup on the Browns, and the context of that is scary in the NFL. But Seneca Wallace is making, like, over $2 million this year, and Colt McCoy is making, like, $500,000, and it's just...
I'd ride the bench for much less.
Yeah. Yeah, $50 even, a game. Put me next to Brad Smelly. I'll help get people Gatorade. And that's the thing. You could put me in there, you know, at quarterback at this point with this list. I would, if you put my name in the middle of it and we had read that off, no one would have even noticed. Or if I would have thrown in, like, Brian Wiebe's name in there. Doug Peterson, Spurgeon Wynn, Brian Wiebe, Jeff Garcia. You wouldn't even have, like, I'm like, oh, Brian Wiebe, I must have missed that one. He was a...
It was two or three games.
Yeah, in and out. But... Yeah, I think you got to dump Seneca Wallace. They have Thaddeus Lewis, who we brought up, and he's their fourth-string quarterback right now, sort of, but they won't carry four quarterbacks into the... Dump Seneca Wallace. You don't trade Colt McCoy. He knows the offense.
Yeah.
Well, he's young.
He's young. Younger than Brandon Weeden.
Yes, that's for sure.
And if Brandon Weeden sucks or he gets hurt, you have someone there who actually might be able to come in and at least give you a chance to win some games. He knows the people.
Yeah.
But he's been pretty good in the preseason playing with... Like the third string offense, playing, you know, throwing passes to Carlton Mitchell and Burt Reed, handing the ball off to Adonis Thomas. You know what I mean? And he's been scoring touchdowns. And I mean, against third string defenses, but nevertheless. So that's the quarterback situation. Brandon Weeden, Colt McCoy, Seneca Wallace. My vote, dump Seneca, keep Colt. But I also understand that they don't want people calling for Colt McCoy when Brandon Weeden inevitably struggles off the bat as a rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
With a team with not a lot of talent. So that's the idea behind trading him, I think.
Yeah.
You just get him out of there. But, you know, I think, like, the best offer I've heard rumblings of was, like, a fourth or a fifth round pick. And I just, what do you...
Yeah.
That's how you end up with you know, Stanley Daniels or whatever. These people that just are providing depth that don't even ever play or might not make the team, those are your fifth round picks. You know, they haven't had a good draft record recently, outside of the last 2 years maybe. But anyway, Brandon Weeden at quarterback. Trent Richardson at running back is still listed on the depth chart, though he hasn't played in the preseason. But obviously, you know, a lot of talent there.
He's not injured or anything, right?
He's not injured. He just had the scope thing. He had, like, something cartilage, something in his knee. Nothing, like, it wasn't...
like, layoff.
But... yeah. But they're saying he'll be ready for week one.
Cool.
Behind him, of course, Montario Hardesty, who played a lot last year with the whole Peyton Hillis having strep throat and missing 11 games or whatever he did. He's also in Kansas City now with Brady Quinn as well. Mm. And then behind him, Brandon Jackson, Chris Obanaya, Adonis Thomas, you know, kind of people that you've seen occasionally. Chris Obanaya played a lot last year, too. My wife picked him up for fantasy football for a couple weeks at the end of the season. He got her some points. But, you know, wide receiver, another big question mark area. No big playmaker, you know. They didn't draft a wide receiver in those first couple picks this year and then went back out and got Josh Gordon from Baylor in the supplemental draft. And he's looked pretty good.
Yeah,
last night. Yeah. You know, he had a few good catches.
He didn't look bad at all.
Greg Little, of course, in the mix there, rookie from last year. But he also was drafted after missing an entire year of football at North Carolina for accepting money from boosters, I think, or something. But, you know, whatever. If the Browns win, football? Can you play football? I don't care what else you've done. Josh Cribbs also still around in that, but never really been used well as a receiver.
Who's the guy with Adderall?
Joe Hayden, we'll get to him.
Okay.
Yeah, cornerback, Adderall, 4-game suspension possible. Come on. No one can produce a prescription for Joe Hayden's Adderall in the city of Cleveland.
Yeah.
Come on. What are you?
Give him a script. Doctors.
On the other side of the wide receiver, you know, Muhammad Masquah, he's been struggling but had a good preseason, good camp. He caught a nice pass last night, too, I think, and one going out of bounds, remember?
Oh, yeah, that was him. That was a nice catch.
And behind him, Travis Benjamin, who was the wide receiver they drafted in the fourth round, I think out of Miami, super fast, very small, but really, really fast.
Does he have hands?
He has hands. I don't know if they can catch footballs. And then, of course, you know, your general wide receivers that probably won't make the roster. Owen Spencer, who we saw some of last night.
Yeah.
Burt Reed. Rod Windsor caught a pass last night or didn't or something. And offensive line, you know, was supposed to be the strong suit of this team. Joe Thomas, really good, Pro Bowl, high draft pick. Alex Mack, also not of the Nickelodeon show, but of years ago, but of University of California. Offensive lineman, also a high pick. New pick, Mitchell Schwartz, new draft pick.
Yeah.
Second round, he's been doing all right. But, you know, not much turnover from last year on the offensive line. That's hopefully going to be a point of continuity of a good part of the roster that doesn't change. It gets better and better because they need to protect Brandon Weeden.
Right.
And make Trent Richardson run for billions of yards.
That's a lot of yards.
Tight end Ben Watson again this year. Hasn't played in the preseason yet. He's been kind of knocked around. But behind him, we have Jordan Cameron and Alex Smith, Evan Moore, Gronkowski, some of these people that have played some, you know, in the past couple of years. At fullback, draft pick from last year, Owen Marisek, hasn't really done too much, but whatever, he's there. Behind him, Brad Smelly, seventh round pick out of Alabama. So that's your Browns offense for this year.
What's the defense look like?
Defense is looking like, you know, the defense was improved last year. Really good defense, despite the fact that they lost a lot of those games. They were solid. Now they have Frosty Rucker to shore it up on the D-line. And he's an end, right end. Frosty Rucker picked up from the Bengals. He'll be starting.
Nice.
On the left end, we got Jabal Sheard, who was the rookie from last year. Had 8.5 sacks last year. Really good. They're projecting big things for him this year.
Excellent.
He's also the guy I like a lot as a character player. Threw a guy through an art gallery window in college.
Wow.
At the University of Pittsburgh, I believe. Nice. And then from what I heard... he continued to beat the crap out of the guy even after the police showed up and it tried to calm him down.
Mm.
Carried the police on his back as he continued to
whip this guy's ass.
And that is, once again, if you can play football, I mean, I like that intensity. And obviously, he stayed
out. I wonder what this guy did to receive.
Exactly. That sort of we didn't hear about that. It probably, you probably threaten Jabal Sheard with being really good in college and getting drafted by someone like the Browns. But he had a great year last year. And, you know, there's this group of these guys, him and Joe Hayden, who we'll talk about, and Trent Richardson, even, and who are really big proponents of Cleveland, too. And I like that. They show up at Cavs games and Indians games, and, you know, they move there, and, you know, that's good.
I think Cleveland will love you if you are at all nice to the fans and do a little good.
Yeah, the hard
like,
working.
It's not a hard sell. It's just like, oh, yeah, you're supporting.
We love football. I mean, those games sell out when they're just, they haven't had the product on the field the last couple of years. And, you know,
and Browns bars.
Browns back are worldwide. There's like in Qatar and Germany and Russia. And, you know, we have a great one in Athens, Cat's Eye.
Yeah. That's where I've seen most of my Browns games.
Yeah. And so, but
where
yeah.
Is it here? Was it Milano's? Is that the Browns backers?
I think
bar?
That's where we went in Beaver Creek, right? Yeah. We went and watched the game there one time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fun.
And
I see the, one of the tackles is acclaimed writer director John Hughes.
Wow. Yeah, and that, you know,
zombie John.
And I was gonna make the joke at some point too. You know, reading through these rosters, which I know might be a little dry. I'm trying to spice it up here with Frosty Rucker. Mentioning Frosty Rucker
as much as possible.
But you know, it always reminds me of Major League, the Indians movie, where they're reading the rosters at the beginning of that movie in the diner. It's like different footage of people around Cleveland reading the newspaper of the lineup. And they go, this guy's dead, you know. John Hughes, a defensive tackle. There you go. Acclaimed, probably award-winning director and writer.
I would imagine.
He's a draft pick as well this year. And he's filling in for Phil Taylor, who was another big draft pick last year. Had a great year, but is a little banged up. He's going to miss a little bit of the season. So John Hughes has stepped in and been awesome. Ataba Rubin.
How'd all these people get hurt before, you know, during the summer?
Right.
Remember when
what were they doing?
Exactly. You remember when Kellen Winslow got injured in the motorcycle accident? Yeah. He also fractured his leg in a Browns game when they were already down 34-7 or something at the fourth quarter by running into his own teammate on a kickoff 1 year. So that, to answer your question, those things, I guess.
Similar choices.
You know, lots of people have been getting hurt this year. I think camp, that happens. But Trent Richardson's knee was an issue before, so I think it's just something flared up. I don't know what happened with Phil Taylor. Who knows? And then the linebackers, Scott Vegeta, who's going to be out for a while, I think, as well, picked up from the Saints a couple years ago, and I think he has a suspension for a couple games because of the bounty gate thing the Saints went through, for getting busted for paying players to hurt other players, and he was a member of that team. So some other – he's had a suspension, and then he's hurt as well. DeQuell Jackson, who's been awesome, like a great year last year coming back, and the Browns, I believe, re-signed him. If not, they should. A little not so great on the weak side, Kaluka Maiava, who hasn't done too much. He's in the favorite name club.
Absolutely.
And then, actually, I mentioned, too, Scott Vegeta's out, so another rookie there, James Michael Johnson. Very solid name.
That is a good one.
He's been stepping up and been pretty awesome. Secondary, Joe Hayden at cornerback, big draft pick from a few years back. Really beloved by Cleveland. Test positive for Adderall.
Boom.
Boom. 4-game suspension, possibly. I don't think it's all gone through yet.
Got to memorize those plays.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't, well, yeah.
I mean, this seems like a problem more associated maybe with Ohio University in my town of Athens.
Yeah, they just give that to you. Like, I'm having a hard time focusing on my studies. Oh, really? There's drugs for that now.
Yeah.
You have $15? Fantastic.
And once again, you know, I know that we're just starting off here on 6 B's and a P, but and I want to get Browns people on here eventually, and I love this team. I'm not, you know, my critique comes from the pain.
Yeah.
But I don't want to be controversial too much either, because I understand there's people that deal with these problems in their everyday life. But, like, if he's on Adderall and he can intercept everything, let's get him some Adderall.
Fantastic.
Like, let's do whatever. You know, if Jabal Sheard can throw a guy through an art gallery window, let's have him throw Ravens offensive linemen.
Yeah.
Out the of the playing 80. Field. Yeah, I mean, like,
boom, and
what,
juiced up. And
whatever
like, nope.
works. Yeah, yeah, I mean, I know the Red Sox had the thing last year with the fried chicken and beer in the clubhouse. Like, if that works in Cleveland, let's do it. Like, I want to win football games desperately. I don't want any more sad Sundays, Cleveland.
Whatever works. But that should be a good theme for this year.
Whatever works. That's what we're going to go with this year on 6 B's and a P. Whatever works.
To win football games.
Josh Cribbs, just hand him the ball, let him run, see what happens. Frosty Rucker in at fullback. Like the fridge. Remember that? They send him in for like the one-year thing. So Joe Hayden might miss 4 games. He's obviously been a bright spot on this team. That's going to be a big
Buster
hit.
Buster will be in, you think?
Buster might be in, Buster Screen. Sheldon Brown on the other cornerback spot. Bit older veteran at this point. They got him from the Eagles a while back. They were thinking about moving him to safety because he hasn't been as good on the – but they had to keep him at cornerback because they just don't have a lot. Dimitri Patterson behind him.
And who are safety?
Safeties are T.J. Ward, who's had some strong spots. So last night, he missed a lot of tackles, man.
There were open a lot field of tackles missed in general by the Browns last night.
And, I mean, I know it's preseason. Everyone's having trouble with tackles, but the Cleveland's always had a problem with that.
Yeah.
You know, even when the defense was good last year, it would be those couple plays that happened where just they, nobody tackled the guy.
Right.
That scored those touchdowns that they lost. You know what I mean?
Right.
So big problem with tackling still. And then the other safety is Eric Hag.
Eric Hag.
Favorite, and he sort of shot up the depth chart. He was not a starter last year. I think he was an undrafted rookie a couple years ago. So hopefully good things.
What's life like for that? Like an undrafted rookie? You just like you
there's some in the
college, and you just like kept playing football.
Well, yeah, they just didn't. You didn't get drafted, but then a team signs you still and invites you to camp.
Yeah,
which is weird too. You think about that because then you get invited to a camp, which you have to go to. I mean, the Browns have some undrafted rookies this year. L.J. Fort is one. They picked up a wide receiver too, Josh Cooper, I believe. Josh Cooper, undrafted free agent wide receiver who played for Oklahoma State with Brandon Whedon. He was like his second best receiver at nobody drafted him. They brought him in maybe for some familiarity, but who knows if he's going to stick around.
Right.
And you hope maybe some of those guys stick on special teams, I guess, or something. You keep them around and see what happens.
Yeah.
But
well, you get 55, right? 55 people.
Yeah, but right now I think you start with like 90 in the preseason. Yeah. You whittle it down. I think they're at 75 now, so there's going to be a big cut here.
Yeah, I guess so. It'll
be interesting to see how many of those players go away. But, yeah, I mean, and then you end up in a camp for somebody as an undrafted rookie, and you get some footage and people see you play, but then camp's over, and if you get cut, it's not like you can go to another camp. Like, you just have to hope maybe somebody saw you play and brings you in.
Just go get a job and wait for next year's crazy football camp.
Yeah, so is the life of Johnson Batamosi, fourth string cornerback. Yeah, he probably won't make the team. And so, yeah, I wonder what will happen to him. Maybe we'll get him on the show.
Yeah.
What's the minimum? Yeah, that's
well,
good
no,
idea,
but
though.
The free undrafted free agents brought to camp aren't given a guaranteed contract. They're given like a little bit of money, a couple $1,000 or something, I think, to come to camp.
Gotcha.
You have to play for the contract. So some of them, you know, if you're drafted, I think you at least get some guaranteed money, even if you're – like Brad Smelly, even if they cut him or something, he'll get $100,000 or $70,000 for this year, I got to imagine, you know. But not so for JoJo Dixon. He probably is
JoJo.
Hoping and praying.
To make that team, that somebody's going to get hurt.
Someone will get hurt.
Well, what's if you make the team, how much money do you make?
Minimum, yeah, you're probably right. It's got to at least be 6 figures, I think. There's another question for our audience. What is the league minimum? Because I've always said I wanted to be like third string quarterback, man. That would be the best job ever.
Backup kicker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and we didn't talk about Phil Dawson.
Oh, automatic, how could you forget?
Automatic Phil. He's had a great preseason.
He automatic like Phil?
50, that's my terrible nickname for him. Kicking the biscuits, and
it's always automatic until he misses.
Then it's not. Yeah, he had a good year last year, though.
He did.
I had him on my fantasy team for a little bit as well. He had like a 55-yarder against the Packers. I mean, he's a monster, dude. And the Browns don't want to lock him up with a long-term deal. They franchise tagged him this year, give him an automatic 1-year contract.
Mm.
And you know, Phil's always been a really good. And then Reggie Hodges, the punter who got blocked last night.
Yeah. Yeah. Not his fault. No. Wow.
Yeah. And you talked about it. That's got to hurt.
Yeah. For every party involved. Like, sticking your hands in front of, like, somebody that's kicking a football as hard as they can.
It's like, not going to feel
foot
good.
Foot away from it.
Yeah. Like,
It's your foot just going in directions it's not supposed to. That's the depth charts, you know. Please comment with your favorite names too. Please go take a look. I'll try to post a link to the rosters when we post this podcast, and go take a look. Even if you don't like football, you know, there's some
everybody likes funny names.
Everybody likes funny names. Who doesn't like Frosty Rucker? who I believe too, I got to double check this. I almost don't want to say this without fact checking, but we'll go there. It's a podcast. I think he owns a frozen yogurt shop. Like Northern Kentucky or something. He played for the Bengals or wherever he's from.
Is that his heritage? Like his parents have named
his
Frosty
dad,
after
his
the
dad's
Frosty
nickname was Frosty.
Yeah.
And so I read something where he said like he named him Frosty because look, people are gonna call you that anyway. Because that's what they called me, and you're gonna play football, and you're gonna be Frosty. You might as well be Frosty.
Wow.
Yeah. And I really hope, like I said, I want to get
hey, baby.
I want to get football player. Frosty Rucker on here.
Yeah.
We're on Twitter. Again, you know, just a quick plug before we finish up here. 6B1P, number 6, letter B, number 1, letter P on Twitter. Send us some stuff. Tweet at us. Twaddle the tweet and twibbles. And we're following all the Browns, and I'll add more. I'm following a bunch of Frosty Ruckers, pretty active on the Twitter, so maybe we can see if we get Frosty in for a quick interview at some point. That's the goal.
How do these Browns followers react to their tweets?
They respond. Bernie Kosar, man, responds to everything, and we'll talk about Bernie at some point. I'd really like to get him even for an email interview or something.
But, yeah, that'd be awesome.
You heard him as part of our theme music. Famous Bernie song.
He's an interesting announcer.
Yeah.
You know, a bit of realism in the booth there. He said the word defensed last night.
That play was well defensed.
Well defensed, which I don't...
Well, you know.
But, you know,
he's saying a lot of words.
He's saying a lot of words.
Some of them are going to come out.
I saw him flash in the Super Bowl ring last night. Cowboys Super Bowl ring. So, Bernie, got to get you on 6 B's and a P, hopefully. So, you know, we pretty much ran through, we talked about some of the big things for this year. Trent Richardson, just to recap, big running back. Hopefully he has a good year. Brandon Weeden and this quarterback.
Right.
New owner.
Greg Little.
Greg Little, wide receiver.
Yeah.
Josh Gordon looking good, too. So a lot of young talent that hopefully wins some games. New owner.
New owner.
Hanging out in the dog pound.
So what's your, I know that you're... deep down inside, hoping for a Super Bowl.
16-0 Super Bowl. I think this is the time, only time you could say that.
What would you be content with?
Well, on a very basic
level.
We'll
do the optimist, realist thing.
And I'll give you answers to all of them. The optimist, you know, is 9-7 or something crazy.
Well, the optimist isn't 16-0.
It is 16-0, but like, let's bring it down. All right, well, an optimist 16-0 Super Bowl.
Okay.
Right? Brandon Weeden.
Yeah.
Unseats Tom Brady.
Well, that's always
going to
be
Eric.
The optimist view of my football team for this year. They win everything.
Realist.
Anything
realist,
they can win, they win.
Yeah. And a realism hopeful, you know.
Right.
Well, like I say, maybe be a 9-7. Like the Bengals last year ended up 9-7. No one thought they were going to be good.
Yeah.
Their rookie quarterback and rookie receiver led them to a good season.
I would be thrilled.
9-7 would make me. We would be very happy here on 6 B's and a P. Even 7-9.
I just hope the owner's cool.
Yeah.
Like, if you guys are horrible and he comes out and, like, but really gets involved with everybody.
People will respect that because the last guy didn't
like,
do
sweet,
that.
Somebody's attempting something.
Right.
He cares.
Randy Lerner, not famous for being out there and being supportive, the old owner, or investing or spending money on the team.
Right.
Hopefully this guy's different. He wants to win.
He just cares. I think that... like, that should be hope and optimism for all the Browns. Like, well, we still are horrible this year,
but this guy's
somebody cares
it.
About that. Yeah. He's unhappy like I am, sharing the pain.
Yeah, and he was a minority owner for a little bit in the Steelers.
Really?
Which, you know, not a big fan here of that those
franchise?
Horrible group of people, the Pittsburgh Steelers. But and we'll get into that, I'm sure, in the shows that are after Steelers games and Ravens games.
Yeah.
But... that's a winning culture and a team that really has a solid front office and has managed to draft people and develop them. And he wants to win. So hopefully some of that is rubbing off on the way he's going to run the Browns.
Absolutely.
And, you know, so young team, we'll see what happens. But, you know, honestly, the realist and pessimist end of things, if they just win 5 games, just at least do a little better than last year.
Yeah.
I mean, 2 seasons of 4-12 in a row, it's just it's depressing.
How many do you think they'll have to win to make – playoffs?
I don't think 9's gonna make it. I mean, there's some good teams this year. I mean, it could be one of those years again where you need 10 wins to go. And the AFC North is tough. That's the other thing. You know, the Browns haven't been very good, but Steelers, Bengals, and Ravens have all been solid the last couple years. I mean, the Bengals have had a few rough years, and there was a few years where the Steelers and Ravens kind of on and off might have not that year done as well as they should have and missed the playoffs. But, you know, those are teams that can go 12-4, 11. Like last year, I think it was, you know, the Ravens were 12-4, the Steelers were 11-5, and the Bengals were 9-7, and they all made the playoffs.
Yeah.
The two wild cards came out of the AFC North last year, so that's tough.
Yeah.
And you got to play those guys two times each, man.
Right.
You know? So hopefully, you know, we stumbled across an offensive player in this draft that ends up being awesome. You never know. Maybe Brandon Whedon will get in the swing of things. Maybe
he
just need a quarterback.
For the first two things. I mean, before the dreaded turnover,
yes.
Which is the bane of the Cleveland Browns.
Yes. That was which, yeah, you were talking about that last night.
Wrong times.
Yeah.
Red zone turnovers, you know.
Yeah.
Some of these Browns seasons haven't been as bad as they've looked. The defense have
nope.
kept them in
yeah.
a lot of those games in the last couple of years. And the offense will drive the ball and throw an interception in the end zone. I mean, it used to be, I remember watching Browns, he's probably with you guys at various points in time, watching Colt McCoy, Brady Quinn, Derek Anderson, these people driving down the field.
Yeah.
Get to about the 22, and I would just literally, you know, you'd almost not want to say it out loud, but just go, here comes the interception, and boom, in the end zone. You
yeah.
know? So hopefully that doesn't happen. A little more fundamentals and advancing the ball, very basic stuff.
Yeah.
Trying to stop the big plays, tackling people. I mean, this is stuff for our audience that doesn't listen to football. You don't need to know how this works. You need to tackle people and try to
yeah.
score some touchdowns
yeah.
and not give the other team the ball. It's pretty basic stuff that the Browns need to do. Hopefully they do that. See, we got one more preseason game next Thursday.
Right.
I believe this podcast should go. It might. I don't know if it'll go up before then. It'll go up around then. So one more preseason
okay.
game before this has been recorded here against the Bears on Thursday.
After
the 30th.
Recorded.
Yeah, after it's recorded.
Before
it's posted. And then we kick off the season Sunday, September 9th.
So hopefully we'll have an episode up the 10th.
Yeah, there'll be an episode up the 10th. We start the season off against the Eagles, who they played last night.
Yeah.
Tough team, man. The
Indeed.
Eagles are good. And that's a thing that's hard to watch sometimes. You see teams like the Ravens or the Eagles or the Patriots, some of these teams, the Broncos play this year, that just have a lot more talent. I hate hearing the national announcers say that stuff in the
yeah.
games, but hopefully this year is the year some of these guys start to come on and we end up with a few good wide receivers. And what would be better?
Get to be underdogs every game.
Underdogs every game, which is always good.
Yeah.
And the optimists, will end here on an optimistic note. A lot of young guys in this team, so if a few of them start playing good, you're talking about people that are 22, 23, I mean, in Brandon Whedon's case, 94 years old. You know, who, if they start to produce, you know, you got a young core of people here. You're talking about possibly starting rookies at quarterback, running back, wide receiver, with the other wide receiver being a second-year player.
Yeah.
You got some good veterans that are still young, like Joe Thomas and people like that on the line, Joe Hayden. It could be good. Lucy's making some crazy noises next to us on the couch. I don't think the mic is picking that up.
It might be.
But she's got the Jimmy legs going on and is doing something crazy, shaking my coffee here. So we'll wrap up here. I do have a trivia question, which we'll get to at the end. But once
yeah.
again, just a quick
tune in.
Thank you to Chris and Randy, who I hope will be on more episodes.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
B-B-B-B-B-P. Six
that
B's and a
five.
P. That was five. I always do five. Six B's and a P. Browns backing Brian's Browns backing blog. Podcast here on
I thought it was Brown's Backer Brian's Brown's Blacking blog podcast.
It can be that,
but I, you know, it's yours.
That makes more sense.
Just,
Bracking?
No, Brown's Backer
Brian's
Backing Brown Backing Brown's Backing
Brown's
What's
Backer
Brown
Brian's
Backing
Brown. Well, that's
it's
the
like
Brown's
bear
backers.
Backing, but more gay.
Yeah, Brown Backing
right.
podcast, and next episode, September 10th or so. Look forward after Browns versus Eagles.
Woo!
Browns. Go Browns. 16-0.
Sure.
Randy with the sure, bringing it back home. The realism, pessimism,
yeah.
Which I understand. We've talked about. Hopefully it just doesn't go that way. Trivia question to end the show.
Sure. Hit us. Why did we say goodbye before the trivia question?
We'll say goodbye again because I want to plug Aquabear again at the end there.
Okay.
Trivia question. Please answer in the comments. We'll have a winner next week. You will win
stickers, buttons.
Yeah, Aqua Bear stickers and buttons. We'll mail you a
hey,
little.
Hey, we have
package.
Those buttons that are Browns colors.
Cleveland Browns colored Aqua Bear buttons, which are awesome. That will be included to the one who can answer this question for me. The Cleveland Browns were one of the teams in the first Monday Night Football game in 1970, all the way back in 1970. They won this game, 31-21, I believe is what it said when I looked. But they won the first Monday Night Football game in better times. Who was their opponent? What team did the Browns play in the first Monday Night Football game in 1970?
Good question.
Hit up the Wikipedia.
Hey, can I ask a clarification question?
Yes.
To whittle it down?
Yes.
Does the team still exist in that form?
Yes.
Ah.
With the exact name, hasn't moved. Has existed since then.
Okay.
Still exists.
Still don't know.
Yeah.
I don't either.
So
but
answer that in the comments.
Trying to help the audience.
You could tweet it at us too. At 6, number 6, letter B, number 1, letter B, 6B1P on Twitter. Leave it in the comments section on AquaBearLegion.com. Go Browns. And thanks for listening.
Bye. See you next time.
We gotta go, Super Bowl. We gotta go now, Super Bowl. Go Browns!
I used to be in Appalachian, Ohio. The Aqua Bear Legion provides a community network for creative people. We are dedicated to supporting and enhancing independent music and art in our extended region. We focus on collaborative relationships to create opportunities for independent musicians and artists.
All right.
Technical difficulties.
Welcome, everybody, to the inaugural episode of B, 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 P. You missed it. I missed a B. Let's start over.
Okay.
It's too early to get off track. All right, we'll snap it off.
Six B's and a P,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the whole All point.
Right. Yep.
It's the Twitter handle, right?
Yeah, six B's and a P.
Cross
All right, ready?
Promotion.
Okay. Do we need to listen to the song again?
I don't think so.
Okay.
And do you think we need to?
No.
Okay.
You should leave it here, though. Just leave this part off.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
All right.